I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Eustace Aros of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
You're listening to the Renegades of Puck
with Crazy Charlie.
Welcome to the Bunker. Welcome to the Renegades of Puck podcast. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. And before we get started on the no half step in coverage from this 41 degree bunker, let me first direct you to our whole website, renegadesofpuck.com. Once you go to renegadesofpuck.com, you learn everything you need to know about the show. Once you get good and educated about the show, you can click on that merchandise tab. It's going to take you straight to our classic logo t-shirt, our pride logo t-shirt, all of our different special event t-shirts, and our home base freak out 2 merchandise, of course. All the special gimmicks you've come to know and love from the Renegades of Puck, like socks, wall art, throw pillows, bed sets, it's all still there in our online store. As a matter of fact, the easiest way to say it is we've sold out so that you can buy in. Social media of critical importance to this independent hockey operation, so please listen up. You can support the show and give us a follow on the following social media platforms. We are on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and also Twitter. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, and thank you so much to each and every one of you who have subscribed recently. Nice uptick in subscriptions, and that is outstanding for Renegades of Puck TV. When it comes to the audio podcast, you can find us on numerous platforms. Easiest thing to do is just search Renegades of Puck on your preferred platform, but I'll give you a couple of examples. Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon. You can find us on all of those different unique platforms, and you can find the show completely for free. Stick taps, love, and respect to each and every one of you for supporting the show. Thanks to the Full Press NHL Network, we have been heard by more than 1.3 million listeners in the year 2023 so far. We have already surpassed what we accomplished in the year 2022, and again, that is all because of the incredible audience that we have out there, each and every one of you, Renegades of Puck. Venmo, it's how you can become a partner or a sponsor of the show, and we sure do appreciate every dollar that you send to this independent and hockey operation. Every single penny of that goes to upgrading things here in the bunker, in the trenches, and with the Renegades of Puck. Microphone, lighting, you have seen the upgrades with the camera. It is obvious what we have been able to accomplish thanks to your generosity. Thank you so much, Renegades of Puck, supporting this independent hockey operation now for almost 2 years. It has meant the world to me, and thank you. I appreciate it so much. I really, really do. And you know, I reach out to you guys on the side and whenever I can. And thank you as much as I can for all of those donations. Homebase Freakout 2 spent the last 2 days in nonstop promotional mode. I have been handing out flyers all over the hockey rinks of the Middle Tennessee area. I've been putting them up in locker rooms, putting them up outside the rinks. I am just about to start flyering all of your windshields. So please, each and every one of you, come on out. It is going to be at the Music Row location. That's going to be 1538 DeMundrian Street of Tailgate Brewery. The Renegades of Puck are on tap. We're going to have frozen drink specials, pizzas. We're going to have all of that stuff. We're opening the doors. All you got to do is show up. There's no cover charge. It's all ages. And all you got to do is show your ID at the door to get on in. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to do some giveaways. We'll have some jersey giveaways thanks to Rebirth Sports. We'll have some other giveaways. We've got tons of team pucks over here. And we've got other great gimmicks that we want to give away. Stripe Digital Solutions is putting together some great packages. And also Strong Style Fit is putting together some things for the show. So we sure to appreciate all of you. And come on out, please. There's no excuse for us not together at the hockey community. Is an opportunity during an incredible hockey week to get on out, get together, and get to start knowing each other a little bit better. We've got to start building this hockey community to bigger and better places than it has been in recent times. So come on out. Homebase Freakout to 1538 DeMundrian. That's the Tailgate Brewery location right there on Music Row. We cannot wait to see you for Homebase Freakout 2. Now, whew, man, I know, time for the no half step in hockey coverage. So let me deliver the goods. It's time for operation number 732 for the Renegades of Puck. That is right. Show number 732. And in this 41-degree bunker at this moment in hockey history, the Nashville Predators currently find themselves in fifth place in the Central Division. 68 games skated. They have a record of 34-26-8, 76 points. They have a road record of 17-14-4. That's where their next game will take place. We'll talk about that matchup momentarily. They scored 191 goals in the season, and suddenly the goal differential looks a lot uglier than it did 24 hours ago. They've given up 202. That's a goal differential of minus 11 on the season. Now, we will talk about the Central Division updated standings, but realistically, for the Nashville Predators, the only race they're still involved in is the Western Conference wild card bracket, and they are, in quite a bit of danger after this weekend. So let's talk about the Central Division ratings and rankings and standings. That's what they're called. They're called standings. The Dallas Stars continue holding on to first place, and I'm going to start using the phrase holding on, because while Dallas has had a decent lead at times over the course of the season, it is as close and as tight as it has been. The Dallas Stars in first place with 89. The Minnesota Wild right on their heels, 1 point behind at 88 points. They have skated in the same amount of games. The Colorado Avalanche have really turned their season around. 68 games skated is two less games than Dallas and Minnesota, and they are at 86 points, so 3 points behind first, 2 points behind second. It is a three-team weave for first overall in the Central Division, and then there's a two-team dance for a wild card spot, possibly the Winnipeg Jets in fourth in the Central at 81 points. They are 5 points clear of the Nashville Predators, but that caveat certainly still exists with the three games in hand by the Nashville Predators, 68 games skated versus 71 for Winnipeg. Those 6 points at hand, the Preds being 5 points behind. So the Preds are still realistically in the wild card race, as long as it is the Winnipeg Jets holding the number two spot. Finishing up the Central Division, the St. Louis Blues, Arizona Coyotes, and the Chicago Blackhawks round out the bottom third of the division. And we have our first little E in the Central Division. It is the Chicago Blackhawks. The Nashville Predators had their chance to put that E on the Blackhawks the other night, but they failed to do so at Bridgestone Arena. Now the Blackhawks have been officially eliminated from the playoffs after today's action. That gets you caught up on the Central Division, but the wild card, which is what the Nashville Predators are still in the hunt for. Seattle is number one in the wild card right now. It holds the number one wild card spot. The Winnipeg Jets hold the two wild card spot. 83 points, 81 points at Winnipeg. Calgary is at 77. Nashville is at 76. Nashville has skated in fewer games than the Calgary Flames. So the Nashville Predators hold the games in hand over Winnipeg and over Calgary. That's why, realistically, they are still in this race, even though it is becoming increasingly more difficult with every single point that they end up losing. Now, for this Nashville Predators team, they are on the second of this two-game road trip. First at Madison Square Garden. We'll recap that coming up in a matter of minutes. But first, let's go in and preview the game against the Buffalo Sabres that wraps up this road trip. After this road trip wraps up, it's a huge, huge several days here in Middle Tennessee and Nashville for the Nashville Predators. Thursday, they welcome in the Seattle Kraken. Friday night, home base freak out to Music Row Tailgate Brewery. Hope to see each and everyone out there. Saturday, Pekka-Rinne statue unveiling, and then the Seattle Kraken on the ice. And then Sunday, Toronto Maple Leafs here at Bridgestone Arena before the Preds go back out on the road to go into the buzzsaw in Boston and face off against the Bruins. Now, the Preds and the Sabres have played once already this season, so that means this second meeting will be the final meeting of the regular season between these two interconference matchup rivals. It was all the way back in January the 14th when these two teams met for the first time. The Nashville Predators fell on home ice to Buffalo 5-3. It was Josi, Luzon, and Johansson with a goal each. Saros took the loss 28 out of 33. The Buffalo Sabres at this point in time, 33-30-6, 72 points, fifth overall in the Atlantic. A home record of 13-19-3, goal differential of -8, and in the exact same situation as the Nashville Predators. They find themselves right about 5 points out of the last wild card spot. So this game for these two teams is critical for both of them, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 3-point game if each team comes away with something in this, considering both teams fighting as hard as they are to get those final wild card spots. Now, the Buffalo Sabres in their most recent stretch of action, we'll go back 5 games as our sample size. That takes back to March the 11th. It was 2-1 overtime loss versus the New York Rangers. On the 13th of March, a 4-3 win at Toronto. On the 15th, 5-4 shootout loss at Washington. Then on the 17th of March, 5-2 loss at Philly. And most recently, a 7-0 loss versus Boston. 7-0. Something about that score sounds very familiar. For the Predators, a team that remained, for the most part, healthy. I thought it was odd that they stayed so healthy up until, well through the midpoint of the season. The first half of the season, they stayed incredibly healthy. Now they are facing the opposite on the spectrum. Let me just run down the list. These players are listed as day-to-day. The captain, Roman Josi, upper body injury day-to-day. Forsberg, upper body injury day-to-day for his 18th consecutive game. McDonough still out day-to-day. Carrier is now listed as day-to-day. Parsonen is listed as day-to-day. And Johansson, of course, is out for the remainder of the regular season after having surgery just a couple of weeks ago. So for the Nashville Predators, that is a heavyweight list of names that is out injured. Now, anybody from Milwaukee can step up, but it is incredibly hard to fill the shoes of Roman Josi in any situation for the Nashville Predators team. Now, let's take a look inside the ranks in the matchup between the Preds and the Buffalo Sabres. The goals for category, Buffalo, impressive. 3.58 goals per game on the season. That's third best overall in the league. The Nashville Predators are quite the opposite, 28th in the NHL, 2.75 goals per game in the goals against category. Now, the Nashville Predators lead in this metric, 2.94 goals per game against, is 12th, while the Buffalo Sabres are giving up 3.68 per game. That puts them at 27th overall in the NHL. In the shots for category, the Nashville Predators have had trouble generating high volumes of shots, especially as of late. 30.2 is their season number. That's 23rd in the league, while the Buffalo Sabres are generating 32.2 shots per game on net. That is 12th best overall in the NHL. In the shots against category, neither of these teams are particularly good in these metrics. 25th rated in the NHL for the Buffalo Sabres with 33.1 against per game, and the Nashville Predators are 26th with 33.3 against. When it comes to special teams, now, the Nashville Predators penalty kill is not going to impress anybody. 18.4% is 26th in the NHL. They've converted 38 times out of 207 opportunities. Now, the Buffalo Sabres power play, it might impress you. 24.6% is 4th best in the NHL. So they score 1 out of every 4 power play opportunities they have, and 56 times they have done that out of 228 opportunities on the season. The penalty kill, though, flip these around. It is the Buffalo Sabres with the 31st rated penalty kill in the NHL. 71.8% is their kill rate. They've given up 55 power play goals against. Nashville Predators, though, impressive. Since the All-Star break, 11th in the NHL now overall for the season. They have been an impressive run in the last month or so. 41 power play goals against in the season. 81.9% is their kill rate. Now, when it comes to the individual statistics, we always give you the top 5 scores plus the expected goaltender matchup for the next game. This will be between the Nashville Predators and the Buffalo Sabres. Let's start with the home Buffalo Sabres side of the ledger. Tage Thompson, 42 goals, 45 assists, 87 points. And listen, he is simply a player that does not get enough conversation and enough talk around the league. There is a whole crop of young players that do not get the credit or the headlines that they deserve for what they are doing in the game right now. And Tage Thompson is one of those players. 42 goals, of course, that does lead the Buffalo Sabres. 45 assists, 87 points total. Skinner, 29 goals, 38 assists for 67 points. And Skinner is usually very good against Nashville Predators. Tuck has 30 goals in the season, 34 assists for 64 points. And Tuck, again, another player that usually feasts against Nashville. Dahlin, 14 and 49 for 63, 49 assists out there on the blue line. Cousins, 26 goals, 31 assists for 57 points. And Ukko-Pekka Lekkonen, 15, 11 and 4, 890 percentage, 3.67 goals against average on the Nashville Predators, the visiting team side of the stats. It is just hard to look at the stats right now and realize how much of the Nashville Predators' top offense is out right now. The captain, Roman Josi, 18 goals, 41 assists, 59 points, leads the Nashville Predators currently out day-to-day. It is Matt Duchene at 19 goals and 32 assists for 51 points. He is still in the lineup. Philip Forsberg out day-to-day, 19 goals, 23 assists for 42 points. Tommy Novak, 13 and 17 for 30. Sissons, 11 and 16 for 27. And UC Saros now, 26, 19 and 7, 917 save percentage, 2.75 goals against average. Of course, he had two plus periods of relief against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. That's got you all set up in the standings update in the Central, the wild card, and the matchup between the Nashville Predators and the Buffalo Sabres. We've got the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We're going to MSG. We're taking the elevator up to the fifth floor, and we're recapping exactly what happened. We're recapping it. We're really doing it. I'll see you in about 30 seconds.
Hockey players are as unique as the game itself, and your uniform should be tailored to fit you. Rebirth Sports is your sports apparel tailor. From shells, bags, warm-ups, hats, hoodies, branding, and more, let Rebirth Sports be your custom hockey tailor.
And don't forget to tell them they do more than just hockey.
Rebirth Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Rebirth Sport, a match made in hockey.
It's now time for the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We are all the way back to March 19th, the year 2023, when the Nashville Predators were in New York to face off against the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. John Hines deploys his extremely depleted lines in the following way. Tomasino, Glass, and Duchene, Sherwood, Novak, and Evangelista, Trennan, Sissons, and Smith, Afanasyev, Jankowski, and McCarron make up your fourth line. Your defensive pairings are dramatically different due to the number of injuries. Barry and Fabro are now your your top defensive pairing, Luzon and Gross, Gravel and Foote, and you will see Lankinen in net for the Nashville Predators. We are 1:58 into the game at Madison Square Garden, and Halak comes up with a save on Evangelista, plus the rebound follow-up by the Nashville Predators. 2:37 into the first period. It's Hedl's 20th goal of the season. Absolutely steps through the D off of the rush, beats Lankinen easily to give the New York Rangers a 1-0 lead over the Nashville Predators. 7:32 of the first period. It's Mika Zibanejad's 37th goal of the season. It's an easy weak side finish off of the feed from Panarin. The Rangers have a 2-0 lead at Madison Square Garden. We're 8:14 now into the first period, and it's Mott's 5th goal of the season. This is a one-timer off of a cross-zone feed, and the New York Rangers now a 3-0 lead at MSG, and they're absolutely dominating the play early in the first period. 9:30 of the first period. Barry's off the box, 2 minutes for hooking, but Kane is going to pick up a penalty, 2 minutes for interference. That'll lead to a 4-on-4 for 1:35. That's where Keandre Miller is going to cash in with his 7th goal of the season. Vincent Trocheck pass on the 2-on-1, perfectly placed, and the New York Rangers now have a 4-1 lead, 4-0 lead. That's when Lankinen is pulled. Saros is in, 4 goals on 5 shots against. The Nashville Predators then pick up a penalty for too many men on the ice. This leads to a 4-on-3 power play scenario for the New York Rangers for 43 seconds with tons of wide open ice, and that much offensive talent did not take the Rangers long to cash in. It's Panarin's 23rd of the season. Just a simple wrist shot, waited for the traffic, timed it perfectly. UC Saros, do not believe, ever saw this shot from Panarin. 5-0 in favor of the New York Rangers. We're at 13:36 now of the first period. It's Keandre Miller's 2nd goal of the period, his 8th goal of the season. It was a long wrist shot. Not sure if Saros ever saw this one as well. New York Rangers now hold a 6-0 lead at Madison Square Garden for the Nashville Predators. Thankfully, the first period comes to its conclusion. The New York Rangers outshoot Nashville in the first period 12-6. So the Rangers have as many goals as the Nashville Predators have shots. We go to the clean sheet, and you can see a clearly decelerated New York Rangers team coming out for the second period. They just simply have downshifted with a 6-0 lead. At 4:39 of the second period, Halak comes up with a save on glass. 5:35, Trocheck's off the box, 2 minutes for tripping. This is where Halak has his most significant sequence of the entire game. Comes up with a save on Novak, follows that up with a save on glass, another save on Sissons, and one more before the end of the power play. 9:02, shortly after that power play ends, Kreider picks up his 32nd goal of the season. It was the 2nd rebound put back. Saros stopped the first 2 long shots, but the 3rd one finds its way to the back of the net. Kreider's 32nd goal of the season. What great hands he has on rebound putbacks and opportunities. That gives the Rangers a 7-0 lead at Madison Square Garden. 9:19 into the second. Barry's off to the box again. 2 minutes for holding in this situation. Saros comes up with a save on Hedl, plus Kako's jam attempt at the post. Saros then comes up with a save on Keandre Miller's absolute bomb of a shot. 11:25. Saros comes up with a save on Tomasino. Tarasenko at 13:58. Saros comes up with a save on Miller's heavy shot yet again from the high slot. 16:49. Halak, a save on glass with the kick out. 19:40. Smith off the box, 2 minutes for interference. We hit the intermission with the Rangers out shooting the Predators 23-19. 1:40 carries over on the power play for the Rangers. Saros comes up with a save on Hedl during that carryover. 2:21 in the third. Saros a save on Lafreniere. 6:25. Saros a save on Fox. 6:55. Halak comes up with a save on glass. It was the first shot on goal of the period for the Nashville Predators, coming almost 7 minutes in. This again is against a decelerating New York Rangers team. 9:20 of the third. Saros a save on Mikkola. 12:42, Halak a save on McCarron. 13:04, Saros on Zibanejad. Then at 15:37, Saros on Mott. 17:37, Halak comes with a save on Offen. A save 18:45, UC Saros a save on Kako, and one more at 19:51, a save on Mott. Shutout for the New York Rangers, 7-0 at Madison Square Garden, and the New York Rangers outshoot the Nashville Predators 34-22 in this game. The Nashville Predators were in this game for exactly 2 minutes and 37 seconds before being blitzkrieg and barnstormed off the ice at Madison Square Garden. Rarely have I seen this. The New York Rangers this weekend, 13 goals to sweep their home weekend series against the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Nashville Predators. The Penguins fighting for a playoff position, the Nashville Predators fighting for their playoff lives, and the New York Rangers not giving a damn about any of it. They went ahead and pounded both of their opponents. The New York Rangers are a team that has some offensive situations as of late, trying to figure out the right combination combinations, the right lines, the right lineup, the right pairings to put out there. And over this weekend, I think they might have cracked that nut and solved that problem. This was simply otherworldly dominance by the New York Rangers. They are a team that's on another level from the Nashville Predators at this point in time. Listen, if the Nashville Predators had come in here with Roman Josi and McDonough out there on the ice and Philip Forsberg out there on the ice, they could have perhaps made more of a game. But the New York Rangers right now are clearly tuning up for the playoffs. They're in a highly competitive division, highly competitive race, trying to get at the very least home ice advantage in the first round, possibly against the Devils or the Carolina Hurricanes. That is a very, very tight division. Eastern Conference is some incredible hockey right now. And the Nashville Predators are simply not at that speed right now with all the injuries, all the players out, all the youth. And no matter how much enthusiasm you have, without the captain on the ice, without him out there to lead, and without your best player overall in the franchise history, it is going to be very difficult to beat. And the Nashville Predators didn't have a chance today at Madison Square Garden. Rarely do you have a relaxing afternoon as a New York Rangers fan at MSG, but today was one of those days where you could just kind of enjoy it. For the Preds, they fall 7-0 now off to Buffalo. That does it for the Rebirth Sports full game recap. We've got full analysis coming up next. We've got stats. We've got whatever the box score is. And we've got some opinions on some things. And we've got a special presentation and special commentary from Brian Baston to close out this episode of the Renegades of Puck podcast. We're coming right back.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm Tracy, owner-operator of Strong Style Fitness. And that's me and my training assistant, Rizzo. And we are here to bring you fitness that meets you where you are by offering circuit classes, bar-inspired classes, Tabata workouts, boot camps, guided stretching, and more, all taught by a certified personal trainer, me. To learn more, go to our website, strongstylefit.com. Subscribe on YouTube at Strong Style Fitness. Follow on social media at Strong Style Fit. But most importantly, let's get you moving. It doesn't matter if it's your first workout or you've been doing it for years. Strong Style Fitness has the workout that meets you on your journey and helps you along the path to a happier, healthier life. I understand where you've been, what you were going through, and where you were going, and I want to take you there. We'll see you on the mat. Mwah.
Kevin Lankinen got the start and ultimately takes the loss in this game. 4 out of 5. 4 goals on 5 shots against. He never had a chance in this game. I mean, Kevin Lankinen has been a fully capable backup when called upon. As a matter of fact, he's put up some really strong performances this season. It's the reason he's gotten another contract from the Nashville Predators team. And it's the reason the team has the confidence to start him down the stretch here in the playoffs. This was just truly, truly the worst of all possible situations. Lankinen never had a chance in this game, and John Hines threw him a life preserver and got him out of there after the 4th goal against. But it was no better for UC Soros. UC Soros also gave up 3 goals against, and he gave up 2 of them pretty quickly right there. And the Rangers even dropped down a gear, were still a threat and dangerous. UC Soros ends up putting up a decent workload by the end of this game, 26 out of 29 over the final 40 plus minutes that he ended up playing in this game. But for Lankinen, he just never had a chance. The New York Rangers were just simply on another level against him. Now, there's not a lot to talk about. There's truly, when you lose 7-0 on the road in Madison Square Garden, there's not going to be a lot to talk about when it comes to the Nashville Predators. But I'm going to point out a couple of things, and then we're going to move on. Glass, 15:01 in total time on ice, 5 shots on goal, and you got to give him credit for a solid effort going into Madison Square Garden, and not a very easy rink to play in, and putting up some noticeable and professional hockey out there. Again, everyone is being evaluated on every shift that they're out there in every game in these great NHL circumstances where you're getting an opportunity to play against a New York Rangers team that is fresh off an Eastern Conference appearance last year and looking to make a run and just loaded up. These young players are getting such incredible opportunities. And for Glass, he's professional. It was good professional hockey out there, and I was very happy to see it. Tommy Novak, 17:40 in time on ice out there. Again, noticeable at times and getting trusted by the coaching staff to put in very important minutes. I like Novak's development. I like to continue tracking and watching what he is doing out there. Barry is effectively the leader of the decimated decor at this point, and he's wearing an A already, just coming here in the Ekholm trade not that long ago, leading the team in total time on ice, 21-11. And yeah, he took a couple of penalties in this game, but he was really up against the wall with the decor that he had tonight against that New York Rangers team. And for Barry, you know what? He's committed. He's doing the best that he can to be a professional defenseman for this Nashville Predators team, but that's a very, very difficult situation for him to find himself in, to suddenly be on the top pair of the Nashville Predators D, and obviously to be the most experienced defenseman on the entire D core. It's pretty impressive to see how many games Barry has played compared to the entirety of the rest of the D core. Dante Fabro's compared to everyone else, considered quite a veteran at this point in time. So for Barry, 21-11, good job for him. And you know what, the Rangers, we talked about it going into the preview. They're relentless. They're sorting out their offense. Everybody knows the headlines and stories, how they loaded up, picking up Tarasenko and picking up Kane and picking up everyone else that would be on the all-star team around the league, it seems. But they put up 13 goals in 24 hours. So whatever it was that they weren't clicking on, whatever difficulties they were having, it seems that they've turned that curve, that they've crossed over that threshold. 13-0 is what they outscored their opponents. And it was the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Nashville Predators over the course of this weekend. So again, the Rangers were a team that was trying to sort things out over the course of the last several games. They frankly looked very disjointed on offense. I think it was a situation where they added so much offensive talent and power that they were trying to be too generous towards each other when each and any one of them could have been putting the puck into the net, or at least onto the net, for others to try to do the work. Now the New York Rangers seem to have squared that away, because that truly offensively is impressive. And just one more player I want to mention. I've been on a real kick about guys that don't get enough talk in the league, don't get enough credit. Watching Mika Zibanejad again in this game, I get to watch Mika Zibanejad a lot. I watch several New York Rangers games throughout the season, of course. Mika Zibanejad is an otherworldly impressive offensive talent in this league at this time, and I just don't feel like I hear anybody really talk about him. So Mika Zibanejad is certainly a high quality offensive player. It's a great hockey player right there, and the New York Rangers are full of great hockey players. So they're relentless. They sorted out their offense, and they certainly did not spare the Nashville Predators in this game. Up 6-0 after first period. They win it 7-0, so even decelerating, they don't even give up a goal. That's going to do it for the analysis portion of this. We've got box score. I'm not going to crumple it up. Normally, in a night like this, I might just crumple the box score up. I don't want to crumple the box score up. I don't want to crumple the paper up. Crumpled paper is bad. Oh, that's a perfect way to lead us into Stripe Digital Solutions. By the way, Stripe Digital Solutions will be at Home Base Freakout 2, bringing some really cool giveaway stuff. So please come on out, meet Brandy and Bill from Stripe Digital Solutions, and check out their commercial right now. Back to the Renegades Puck Podcast right after this. The digital environment can be quite intimidating, time-consuming, and cumbersome, especially with all those other areas that need attention at your business. And that's why Stripe Digital Solutions is here to help. I know, because that's exactly what Stripe Digital Solutions did for me and the Renegades of Puck. From designing my home website and helping me create my merchandise to special event posters, brand building, and social media management. But it's not just that. It's so much more. Stripe Digital Solutions has helped me every step of the way. From startup to full-time operation, Stripe Digital Solutions has been there to assist and advise every single step of the journey. In today's fast-paced world, the path to success is having a strong digital partner, and nobody is better in the trenches than Brandy and Stripe Digital Solutions. Get the solution before it's even a problem with Stripe Digital Solutions. Well, sweet hockey Jesus, this box score is not impressive, nor is there very much to look at right here. Let's run it down, and let's run through it fairly quickly. All right, there are no goals, no assists. Nashville Predators lost the game 7-0, so there's no offense to discuss. When it comes to shots on goal, it was Glass with 5 shots on goal that led the Nashville Predators. He's honestly one of the only Preds that showed any kind of significant play during the entirety of this game. When it comes to block shots, Dante Fabro and Gross, each with 2 blocked shots in this game. The block shots were pretty sparse throughout the rest of the lineup. Now, one thing that jumps off the page at me is Luzon and the number of hits that he had in this game. 7 hits in this game. Impressive going out there and continuing to play extremely physical. The Nashville Predators were also pinned in their own zone quite a bit, allowing the defenseman to have more opportunities to deliver some hits, but nobody else took the opportunities or took advantage of those shots like Luzon did. In net, wow. Lankinen, 4 goals against on 5 shots against. So, yeah, Saros, 3 goals against on 29 shots against, so 26 out of 29. He ends up filling in admirably for the final 2+ periods of this game. When it comes to time on ice leaders, Tommy Novak led the forwards with 1740 in time on ice. Evangelista, 1654. Great to see the young players getting the quality time out there on the ice. Barry led the team in total time on ice, 2111 skated, and it was Foot getting 20 minutes and 4 seconds. I've got to think that's a career high for him right here. I didn't double check that, but I can't imagine Cal Foot skated more than 20 minutes in any game yet so far for the Nashville Predators. And just give some credit to this very, very depleted defense core to see Gravel get 1945 in time on ice, Gross 1921, Luzon 1931. That is impressive to see the young defensemen. They got absolutely scorched. I mean, there's no way around it. They got scorched, but here is what you can control. You can control your attitude. You can control your enthusiasm. You can control what you do on the next shift. And these players wouldn't have gotten damn near 20 minutes each as defensemen in the NHL if they hadn't controlled all three of those things going forward. I mean, it was a worst case scenario, as bad as it could be for the Nashville Predators defense, seeing Barry out there, the leader of the D Corps, who's only been on the team for a couple of weeks now, being the veteran, trying to lead a bunch of guys that he's just meeting getting called up. That's a tough way to go, but for the Nashville Predators D Corps, valuable minutes for the young players, and that's the positive you got to take away from it. Other than that, you got absolutely destroyed in your own end. The way the New York Rangers move the puck, the speed of their passes, it is inspiring and should be to other hockey clubs to want to move the puck with that level of speed and efficiency. Look at how many lanes it opens up. Look at how many offensive opportunities it opens up. And look at how many times the New York Rangers just find themselves with an absolute siege in the offensive zone on the netminder of the opposing teams. That New York Rangers team is something that I would love to see this young Nashville Predators team start to evolve into in the next couple of years. With that much speed, that much offensive ability, it's pretty much incredible. That's going to do it for the box score. We're going to come back and we're going to introduce a special commentary segment. Brian Bastin's going to close the show. We'll get to that here in just a moment. Back after this on the Renegades Puck. I'm Crazy Charlie Sonia, captain of the Renegades of Puck. I'm also tired of the cold, tired of the dark, and tired of being landlocked. I'm also willing to bet that I'm not the only one who could use some sun, fun, and time in paradise with friends. That's exactly why I called our great friend Pete Weber. He told me, call Ships and Trips Travel, and now we're all going to Mexico. That's right, Renegades of Puck, July 15th to the 20th of 2023. Dreams Vallarta Resort in Puerto Vallarta is the destination to hang with Pete Weber in paradise. To join Pete and the Renegades of Puck in Puerto Vallarta, go to www.shipsandtripstravel.com. That's ShipsAndTripsTravel.com and just click on the ROP on vacation tab. Don't stay landlocked. Join the Renegades of Puck in Paradise, July 15th to the 20th, 2023 in Puerto Vallarta. Pete Weber, the Renegades of Puck and you. It's time to ditch those skates for flip-flops and fun in the sun. We're going to go ahead and put the cap back on this thing because this is a little bit more serious of a situation. I like to have a good time here in the bunker. I like to have fun. I certainly like to enjoy showing off for you, the audience, just a little bit, but it's time to take a pause on all of that. It's time for me to take a step back. Everyone who follows hockey and follows the NHL on social media knows that there are, on any given day, a number of controversial topics or controversial moments that pop up, and there are strong and there are passionate arguments on both sides of everything. And I agree with some and I disagree passionately with others. Brian Bastin has requested the following time from me. He reached out and he said he would like to skip one big stat. He would like to skip Nashville Predators analysis. Said he had something on his mind, something on his heart. And when it comes to the Renegades of Puck, I encourage passion. I encourage honesty. And when you have something on the heart that you want to say and something that you want to share with the audience, you always have a platform here with me. And Brian Bastin is well aware that he always has a platform here with me. The trenches, the bunker, the Renegades are for all. This special commentary is by Brian Bastin.
There's not much good to say about the game we just watched, a 7-0 loss to the New York Rangers with an absolutely decimated roster for the Nashville Predators. So instead of as the usual statistics-based one big stat, I want to do something a little different, and I ask you to bear with me. Tonight, I am, and maybe indirectly, going to be the topic of this episode's one big stat. Now, before we start, I want to say a couple of things. First off, please forgive me if I do a little bit more reading from my script than usual. This topic is pretty important to me, and I want to make sure I get it right. And second, I promise it's not just me telling a story about myself. There's a point to all of it. So without further ado, let's get started. Last week, after the Predators had defeated the Red Wings, I got to speak with several Nashville Predators in the locker room, just like I normally do, but one of them stuck out to me more than most. I was standing there, microphone in hand, talking to Kiefer Sherwood, and something kept just sticking in my head. What was it about Kiefer Sherwood that seemed different to me? I mean, I've had the chance to talk to 30, 40 NHL players so far in my career, but something was different about Kiefer Sherwood, and it stuck with me all night long. But then, on the way home, I remembered something that I'd learned about him earlier this season when he debuted, and everything started to click. Kiefer Sherwood is half Japanese. And outside of his hair being much better than mine, being a few inches taller, and much better at pretty much everything sports-related, I was struck with a feeling that I had never had in nearly 4 years of covering the NHL. I was talking to a player that looked just like me. My dad, as well as my uncle, were both born in Japan and placed in an orphanage very early in their lives, and my grandparents adopted them. My grandparents at the time were stationed in Japan as part of the U.S. Navy, and after a short stint in the Pacific and a couple other places, they eventually moved back to West Tennessee, where all of my family comes from and where my dad grew up. Now, I'll be honest with you. Yes, technically I am a minority, but I feel pretty privileged when I say I've never once faced any prejudice because of it. And yes, part of it is because a lot of people just look at me with a slightly confused look on their face and go, what are you? Because they don't know what my ethnicity is, but I can't say that once in my life have I been held back for something because of it. But I also know that I am very lucky to be able to say something like that. So why am I telling you this story? Of course, I still have to give you my one big stat for the night, and tonight's one big stat is 31. 31 is the number of Asian American players who have ever played an NHL game, from Larry Kwong, who was the very first and deserves to be in the NHL Hall of Fame, all the way to Kiefer Sherwood. There are more teams currently in the NHL than players who look like me that have ever played a game in the NHL. Of course, Paul Kariya holds a special place in most hockey fans' heart, of course, but it's always been a dream of mine to meet him for the very reason I've been talking about tonight. Again, you might be wondering, why am I telling this story? Representation matters, not just to future generations or marginalized groups, but even a 36-year-old beat writer with two kids who have lived a pretty lucky life. There's nothing I can say to explain what it meant to me when I got to speak to Kiefer Sherwood that night, nor when I talked to him after practice the next day about this very topic. Part of it, I guess, is hope. Hope that one day that number will be much larger than 31. And yes, I don't harbor any illusions of, well, if Sherwood can be in the NHL, so could I. But until that moment, it was the first time in 36 years that I got to see a professional sports player on my favorite team whose background was just like mine. And everybody should get to experience that feeling. Everyone. Without exception. Again, I'm incredibly lucky that I get to speak to these guys after every home game, but even the fans in the stands can feel a kinship with the greatest sport on earth if there's a player out on the ice that reflects who they are as a person. Now, I'm not going to say anything more about James Reimer and the Sharks or any of the similar events that have happened this season. If you're watching this, chances are you already know my thoughts on it. But situations like that are why things like this matter. There are half-Japanese hockey fans. There are female hockey fans. There are fans of hockey who are veterans. There are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and other queer hockey fans out there. And every single one of them deserves to feel the way I felt standing in that locker room that night. Because sports has done one thing since they were invented, and that's to bring people together around a common interest. If you disagree with me on this, well, there's nothing I can do about it. But it's my hope that there are far more of you that agree with me than not. I want to close this out by saying something directly to you, Renegades. Since day one of working with Charlie, I have felt welcome and supportive. Same with anyone who has worked with him. Same with the staff at On the Forecheck. I've been welcomed into the Predators press corps, despite being a hockey writer with no formal journalism training. I want you all to live your lives to help others feel the same way. Reach out to somebody and welcome them to the game of hockey. Show them the love and passion that you have for this game and allow them to experience it too. I don't care what color, orientation, or other status they may identify as, because we're all human beings. Renegades, I challenge you to be welcoming to all of those people who cross your path, because you never know when something simple like a routine post-game interview could turn into something that means so much to a person. And in that case, it was me. Hockey has been the reason I've held on. I've met so many wonderful people in my life. Hockey has been a place where I felt welcome in some of the darkest times of my life. Back in 2020, when I was suffering from pretty severe depression, hockey was the lifeline that I could hold on to because I love the sport, but more than that, I love the people, and it was a loving community that welcomed me in. And every single person in this world deserves the same feeling. So thank you all, Renegades, for listening to this. It's easy to feel anger, disappointment, or many other negative emotions at the state of the NHL right now, but there is always room for love, happiness, and inclusion, no matter what happens on the ice. Hockey brings people together, and I challenge you, Renegades, to be part of that positive force that welcomes people in without telling them that they don't belong. Because even though the NHL says it and probably doesn't mean it, hockey truly is for everyone, and I refuse to believe otherwise.